Let me start by thanking Brother Palsy for his words of welcome. It is a joy to be with you today, to share with you in your service. I would like to bring greetings from the church at Lisburn, my home church. When I mentioned to Dr. Douglas that I was coming, he said to pass on his sincere greetings and also bring you greetings from the Reverend Thomas Martin. Also, Reverend Gary Goods would like to express his greetings as well to the church here. I know that Gary would Reverend Goods would love to have been here, and pray that the Lord will continue to bless these men. It has been a tremendous week of blessing for myself and my daughter. Grace is with me, and I know that my wife will be watching at home, so I need to be careful what I say. I would like to tell her that we haven't eaten very much. You'd see by me that I'm fading away. Of course, that's not true. We have feasted really well. It has been a tremendous week of fellowship and blessing with the Finnegan family, with George and Jody in the family, and then with the Carosis as well. And it has been a tremendous week. And we've been richly blessed in fellowship. There's no people like the people of God. And I can truly say that the Lord has drawn near to us, that the Lord has poured out of His Spirit, and we have certainly enjoyed the fellowship. And our brother Tony Carosi would be very embarrassed if I was talking to you that he was lying on a street on the pavement in New York City. If you have to ask him what that's all about, but he was taking a photo of us, but it was something that even the New Yorkers were stopping to look at and see. And it was a time of blessing, I can tell you, throughout the week. I'd like to thank you for your prayers and support for us as a family, as we continue to minister for the Lord. And it's a very difficult ministry, I confess that readily, seeking to reach young men and women who are plunged into the depths of sin and drugs and addiction. Last year in particular was an extremely difficult year. And not only due to my own personal health, last year I was quite ill at times. I was hospitalized on three occasions with kidney infections and wasn't well at all. I had to take a number of months out of the ministry. And then also last year we had a number of setbacks with men who at one time were walking with God, going through with God, and sadly turned away from the Lord. And you pour time into people, you give readily, but of course we do that for the Lord. We don't do that to be seen of man, to receive praise of man, but we do it because we serve the Lord Christ. And please continue to pray for us, for the ministry that we're involved in, seeking to reach young people, young men, women, whose lives are really ruined and destroyed. It's not through drugs, it's through sin. It's not so much the addiction that they have to drugs that's the problem, it is a heart problem. And of course, it's a heart remedy that alone will suffice. There needs to be the change that only the grace of God is able to enable and bring about. A total transformation through the Spirit of God. And we're looking to the Lord to work mightily in the lives of young people. And I want to thank you for praying for us. And I do know that you remember us in prayer. And that means so much to us. I ask just one thing. Please pray for us. Pray that God will reach these individuals. I often think to myself as I minister to these individuals, it's someone's son or daughter, someone's brother or sister, loved one. It's a precious soul who needs Christ. Of course, we never look down or despise those who are down and out in sin. We pray for them. We seek to reach them. We love them in Christ. Pray that they'll be saved. And likewise, we'll continue to pray for the church here at Malvern. And from time to time, I do tune in, especially on the Lord's Day evening. Of course, you've got to remember it's 5 hours ahead back home. We're ahead of you in one way, 5 hours time difference. And so at night time, usually 11 o'clock, I'd like to be able to tune in when possible. And pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. Let's turn in God's word today to the book of Isaiah and the chapter 40. We're going to consider here the words of verse 31. And I trust indeed that the word today will be a great encouragement to your soul. that the Lord will speak to each and every one that by faith we will be brought to the cross, and that today that we would see the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 31, where we read, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Amen. With God's word open, let's just bow briefly in a moment's prayer, please. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we thank thee today for the public worship of thy people. Lord, there is no other place that we would rather be than in thy courts on thy day, worshipping, praising thee. We thank thee for the precious blood of Christ. Even as we have been singing, "What can wash away my sin? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus." We rejoice that we're able to say with great confidence, "Now to my heart is the blood applied. Glory to his name." Lord, in all that we say and do, we desire to magnify, to uplift, to make much of Christ. Lord, we pray that through the preaching of thy word, that thou wilt make much of thy Son. We pray that thou wilt turn our eyes upon Jesus. Lord, by faith, bring us each one to the cross. Lord, thou dost know that our need is great, and only the Saviour is able to meet us at the point of our need. Do hear and answer prayer in accordance with thy will. We pray in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Upon examination of Scripture, we find that the life of the Christian is compared to a number of animals. For instance, the life of the believer is likened to that of a sheep. We read in the Psalm 100 in the verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." And so we know and understand from God's word that the believer is likened to a sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is the great and the good shepherd. He is the one who voluntarily, of his own volition, laid down his life for his sheep. In Isaiah 53, we're reminded that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one from his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now in Christ, praise God, we have returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. We have entered in through the door into Christ's sheepfold. We belong to the Lord. We are his people. We are his sheep. Of course, in the East, it was certainly one of the duties to care and protect the sheep. That was the duty of the shepherd. That is, of course, because the sheep is a defenseless animal. The lamb itself has no way to defend itself. It relies wholeheartedly, completely, upon the faithfulness of the shepherd. Isn't it wonderful to know that as God's people, as the sheep of his pasture, that we are under the care, the protection, that we are under the wings and the covering of the Almighty? This morning, however, we are going to consider what I would believe would be one of the greatest illustrations in all of God's word concerning the life of the Christian. And that is the child of God compared to the eagle. We read here, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." So we're going to consider lessons, valuable lessons from the eagle. There is here the design of the eagle. You see, the word eagle occurs some 34 times in God's word. It is undoubtedly a most magnificent and glorious bird. The eagle is to the air what the lion is to the jungle. He is the master of that kingdom. The sky is his dominion. Think of the span of that eagle. The eagle has a general wingspan of some 7 to 7.5 feet. It is one of the most beautiful birds to ever grace the skies. Are you aware of the fact that an eagle only flies a very small percentage of the time in the air? You see, whenever God designed and formed and created and made this bird, he gave it such a large wingspan and formed those wings in such a structure for this purpose, that it might stretch out those wings, that it might let the wind carry it, that it might yield to the wind, and the wind would carry it above and to its destination. Therefore, the eagle will glide most of the time in the air. It knows what it is to be carried higher and further by simply yielding to the wind. This outstanding bird, that God designed and made, that God compares to the Christian, of course he designed and he made it, it was built to soar in the heavenlies. God gave it those great wings and that span, so that it might, in a sense, rise up above the storms and the trials of life, and that it might look down upon the storms. Of course, the Christian has been saved in order to live in the heavenlies, to walk with Christ. Child of God, the Lord has saved you, that you might live close to him. That when the trials and the storms of life come, and they do come, and we all face them, and we all endure them, that we might know what it is to mount up with wings as eagles, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Of course, this is referring especially, this waiting upon God is referring to that seeking after God, that waiting before God, that interceding. How vital it is that as God's people that we are given to prayer. Can I say, child of God, that you and I, that we need more than ever to know what it is to wait more and more upon God in prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ emphasized the need for prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. In fact, if you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6, here we have another instance when the Lord Jesus Christ placed a great emphasis upon prayer, upon waiting on God. Matthew chapter 6, we live in a day and generation when everything seems to be instantaneous, and there is the drive to have everything at our fingertips, and there is a danger that spirit of the age would, in a sense, creep into the church. But we are to know what it is to be still and know that God is the Lord, to wait upon him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, or for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. How vital it is that we as God's people, that we have, in a sense, a closet ministry. That we have that sacred, not special, time of waiting before God, of seeking God, of crying to God. I know that it's often true that whenever someone perhaps would telephone looking at an individual, and we've all done it, and you've perhaps been ringing a friend in the church or another believer, and you've been given the response, well, you know, I'm sorry, they're not available now. They're cutting the grass. They're doing whatever it is. Of course, those things are important in life. They need to be done. But how often time we were met with a response, I'm sorry, but they're not available.
They'll tolerate her. And the reason being is that that individual is in the closet in the secret place.
In other words, as Abraham said to his servants, tarry ye here. Just you wait here. Well, I'm the lad up yonder and worship. In other words, there has to be that time when we say to the world, just you wait here. One thing is needful, and that is to seek God, to cry to God. The eagle glides most of the time. It's borne by the wind. It has learnt and it knows what it is to be carried by that wind. Can I say that we need to be led by the Spirit of God? And that will only happen as we wait upon the Lord. Of course, the Spirit of the living God, the Lord has told us, will carry us higher and further with himself. Just as God designed the eagle with those great wings and that span, so God has given to us the great privilege of calling upon his name, of waiting before him, of seeking him in prayer. And can I say this, that the Spirit of God always and only leads us to Christ. In the Psalm 61, David reminds us of this great truth. He said in Psalm 61 and verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. David here is crying to God. He is waiting before God, and he says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. He's pouring out his soul. And he says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There is a desire, there is a purpose of heart. Lord, lead me to Christ. Lead me to that sure rock, to that foundation. The Spirit of God will never lead us in error. It will never bring us to embrace the false teachings of a man or false religion. Never lead us to unscriptural endings. When any man or association claims to have a special revelation from God, there's one thing that you can be absolutely certain and sure about, it's that they haven't got the special revelation from God. Can I just say in passing that when I came to the United States just last week, when arriving, it seemed just immediately, and it was met with various billboards and advertisements with the false teachings, Harold Camping. Now, I've been aware of that for having been here in the past, but can I say, you'll probably be surprised, but back home in Northern Ireland, if you said Harold Camping, they would say, Harold who? They've never heard of him. Most people have never heard. May the 21st, what day is that? You see, it's the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to reveal the things of Christ to us through his word, sola scriptura, by the Bible and the Bible alone. And can I say this? That God only speaks to us through his word. There is no extra biblical revelation. God speaking to his people. He will not speak through a vision. He will not speak through a dream. He will not speak through an angel. God speaks by his word, by the word of God alone. And just as the wind of God lifts the eagle, carries it and bears it into the heavenlies, so the Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us in all truth. Of course, we have to yield to the Spirit of God. So if thinking of the design here of the eagle, we've thought of its span, there's also its speed. You see, the scriptures refer to the immense speed at which the eagle travels. Let's turn, please, to the Old Testament, to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. Here's an illustration here about the speed of the eagle, that vast speed. Habakkuk chapter 1. And the verse 6,
We read, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat." And here the Lord is basically saying that vengeance was coming, that judgment was coming, but it was coming swiftly. It was coming at tremendous speed. And the Lord said, when you think of this judgment coming, think up, look up, and think of the eagle in the sky. That great speed, that great pace. That's how quick judgment is coming. The eagle is able to travel at speeds in the sky of excess of 100 miles per hour. It's amazing. In fact, hastening to the prey, it has been reported at speeds of 180 miles per hour. Whenever we as God's people mount up with wings as eagles, in other words, when we wait before God and we seek God and we cry to God, certainly one of the results will be that we will be swift, that we will be quick to do His will. We will make haste to serve the Lord. There will be a sense of urgency about the Lord's business because it is our Master's business. There is nothing more vital or important. Here is one of the great effects of prevailing prayer. It always quickens us and renews our vigor and zeal. As the passage in Isaiah states, we will run and not be weary. We will walk and not be faint. O child of God, how vital it is that we wait upon God, that we are renewed in spirit. In the book of Job, the Lord uses or employs a number of object lessons to describe the brevity of life. Turn with me, please, to Job chapter 9. And here we have this statement about the brevity of life and how short life is. And in the book of Job, our lives are described. Chapter 7, verse 6 speaks about our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And there the Lord says, as the shuttle leaves one side of the loom, it reaches the other side. Oh, it's so quick. It's at such a great pace. And the Lord said, that's just a picture of life. How short life is, how brief life is. Our days on earth are described also as a shadow, that shadow that soon passes away. But here in Job chapter 9, in the verse 25, we read, "Now my days are swifter than the post. They flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey." In the light of eternity, just how short, brief human life is. Consider here the object lesson. The eagle at tremendous speed, travelling to the prey. And God says, man or woman, young person, that's a picture of your life. How short it is, how brief it is. The question is, are you prepared for eternity? Life will soon be over. With regard to the design of the eagle, we've thought of the span, its speed, but I want us to think about here its sight. Birds of prey are known to have very acute sight. It's reckoned that an adult eagle is able to view a rabbit from a distance of some 1 to 2 miles away. That's amazing. When we turn to Job in the chapter 39, we also read here some further words with regards to this amazing, most powerful bird. Job 39. We'll read verse 27 to get the context. It says, doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and upon the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Such is the design of this bird's eyes, that it can view the prey from a vast, vast difference. Of course, we as God's people ought to recognize error and truth from a vast way off. And when we're led by the Spirit and carried by the Spirit, we will most certainly be able to do that. We should not only have long vision, but also broad vision. Broad vision for the work of God, for the harvest fields of this world. Child of God, does it not trouble us that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, they are few? I can't help but quote those verses, that portion, but I've been touched. That as today we look out on a world that is lost in sin, that the labourers are few. They're not many. They are but few. We are to pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest will send forth labourers, that he will thrust them forth. God, give to us a greater vision for the harvest fields of this world. Of course, that vision for the work of God will only come as we have a greater vision of Christ. Because it's the love of Christ that compels us. It is the love of Christ that constrains us. It is as we love Christ more and we follow him more and we serve him more that we will desire to reach our fellow man. The eagle has remarkable eyesight. That is because of the way God has designed its eye. I'm not sure if you're aware that there are companies who manufacture sunglasses, camera lenses and such like, who actually employ scientists to study the eye mechanism of the eagle. That in some way they might be able to imitate it, and some way to simulate its brilliance. Let me quote here from a lens manufacturer. Speaking about their own company scientists, they said, what they discovered, in other words, what their scientists discovered, was that the eagles and other birds of prey have special oil droplets contained within their eyes, selectively filtering out harmful light, while allowing in other light rays, which is the reason that these remarkable birds can distinguish small prey even from miles away. Isn't that amazing? That God has designed and made this bird and given to it a very special and unique set of lenses. And God says, child of God, the eagle, that's just like your life. The very design of that bird. It's able to look at the sun without being blinded. I've listened to a number and looked up a number of men who have studied the eagle, some of them for a lifetime. I mean men who have given some 30, 40 years to studying this bird. And a number of them have actually seen firsthand that when the eagle has been attacked, oftentimes by a number of other birds in a flock, that oftentimes that great and powerful bird, that it doesn't rely on its own strength and our supremacy. Now what it does is it uses the design that God has given to it, and what it does is it looks straight at the sun and it heads for the sun. Oh, that we would learn how vital a lesson that is. That when trials come, that when temptation comes, that what you and I would do as God's people, that we would go to the Son of Righteousness. That we would flee to Christ. That we would not seek in our own strength, as it were, to fight the enemy. How vital it is that we would depend more and more upon the Lord.
I want you to also consider with me regarding the design of the eagle, its strength. It is undoubtedly a very powerful bird. It can crush every bone in a man's hand with just a squeeze from its claw. That's why handlers, of course, have to wear special protective gloves. This bird is so strong that it's able to lift an animal some 4 or 5 times its own body weight. It's been recorded that an eagle of 20 pounds weight is able to lift an animal, a young deer, at some 80 pounds of weight. You see, God designed this bird to be strong and powerful. And likewise, child of God, the Lord has saved you and he has saved me that we might be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That we would know what it is to live in Christ victoriously. One of the ways, of course, that we become strong is by waiting on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How we need our strength renewed. There are times when we become weak, faint, discouraged. We need that renewed. There has to be a putting off for the old man and a putting on of the new, a putting on of Christ. Then in the second place, I want us to consider here not only the design of the eagle, but the dwelling place of this bird. Turn with me back to Job and the chapter 39, please. Here in this chapter, chapter 39, tells us about the dwelling place of this bird. Verse 27 and verse 28 reads, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command? Make her nest on high, she dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place." You see, this bird builds its nest in the cleft of the rock, or in the highest treetop. There is a sense here that it lives as far away as is possible from this world. And it dwells there up in the heavenlies. And can I say, that is what the Lord intended for it. The Lord has saved us that we might live close to him. Just like the eagle, Christian, God intends and desires that you and I, as his people, would live away as far as possible, separated from this world and sin, and live close to him. That we would mount up with wings as eagles. That we would soar in the heavenlies. In the wild, this great bird of prey is always born near or on a rock. It has a sure foundation. We read about that in the verse 28. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock. That's where the eagle dwells. That's where it lives. That's its abode. It's on the rock. It has a sure foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that he is the only and the true foundation, which men may build their lives for eternity. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, the Lord Jesus Christ said. He is that rock. The question is, do you have a sure foundation for eternity? For no other foundation can any man lay than that which is dead, which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. He is the sure foundation. He's the only foundation. There is only one way whereby guilty, sinful, fallen man is able to have his sin forgiven. That is by the washing of regeneration through the blood of Christ.
the putting away of sin. Praise God, there is a way, the way, the foundation founded alone in Christ. Can I say that with regard to the dwelling place of the eagle, it is one of the very few birds where both the male and the female raise the chicks together. One will sit on the eggs while the other will go and hunt for food and then bring the food back to the nest. That's a picture of the Christian home, is it not? The duty of both parents to raise up the young in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's interesting to note that eagles form what is termed a monogamous pair. In other words, when they join up and they pair up, it's not just for a time or for a season, it is for life. And they are known for that. Of course, that's the way God intends it. But can I say, spiritually speaking, that we as God's people, joined in union to Christ, we ought to wholeheartedly and fully follow the Lord. We ought to be continually joined to Him and seek to be joined to Him. If you turn with me, please, to the book of the Revelation and the chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Here we find the Lord speaking to the first church. The 7. Verse 1 reads, "Unto the church, or the angel of the church of Ephesus write." And then the Lord goes on to speak about this church. How that church had separated stand, witness, standing against false doctrine, working, laboring, toiling. And at the end of verse 3, we'd have to say, here's the church, here's the perfect church. We have to read on. Verse 4. "Nevertheless," the Lord says, in other words, despite all this, "I have somewhat against thee." And the word "somewhat" there, you'll notice that it is italicized. It is not in the original Greek text. The sense here is stronger. What the Lord is saying is, "I am against you, because thou hast left thy first love." And the Lord did not say that they had lost their first love, but rather they had left their first love. You see, they were careful in giving to the Lord their hands and their feet and their bodies, their minds in service. But what the Lord was saying is, first of all, he must have the heart. It must be wholehearted worship and service. We serve Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's our duty? No, because we love him. Now, we do serve the Lord out of duty too, but primarily it is out of love. There, that bird that God said is likened to the life of the Christian. It has formed a monogamous pair. It is those two birds are joined together. Is there a child of God here today, and perhaps you have left off the things of God? There was once a time when you walked with the Lord, you served the Lord, you waited before the Lord in prayer, you knew what it was to shed tears, just to weep before the Lord, to enjoy His presence. But today finds you following afar off. And can I say that the Lord tenderly will forgive you and draw you back to Himself? That there is mercy, that there is grace with the Lord. Moving on here, I want you to consider the departure of the eagle from the nest. You see, whenever the chicks are around about 12 weeks old, the mother eagle will begin to stir up the nest. She begins to make the nest uncomfortable. She begins to stir up those twigs. She'll remove the bones, the fur, the mud. You see, in a sense, she's getting the chicks ready to fly. After all, that's what God designed them for. They were made to fly. That's the purpose of God's design. They're not earthbound. They're heavenbound. Turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy and to chapter 32. Here in Deuteronomy, the Lord refers to this period, this time when the young chick will fly. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. It says here, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And God here is likening himself to that mother eagle, and that bearing of the chicks, that tender care, that provision. And can I say this, child of God, that whenever the Lord stirs up our nest, praise God, things will never be the same. Maybe the Lord has been stirring up your nest. And by that I mean, he's begun to really speak to you in your life, unsettling you, convicting you, showing you the need to serve him more, to love him more, to do more for the kingdom. Just as the eagle was designed and made to fly, so the Christian is saved to serve. There comes a time when the eagle will, mother eagle will take those little chicks and teach them how to fly. Now this isn't the case every time, but there are occasions, many occasions when this is the way that the mother will teach those little ones to fly and to yield to the wind. What the mother will do, will she'll get the little chick to hop onto her back. She'll then leave that rock. You picture it high up there in the mountains, whether it's the treetop, the crag or up, right up there in the skies. And there she is soaring along, and you can just picture the little eagle, can't you, on the back of the mother. It's flying at last. But then she'll do something. She'll turn over. That little eagle, no doubt, with all its strength and power, will seek to hold on, but it's unable to. And it drops down from the sky, and it tumbles, and it tumbles, and it tumbles. Until it realizes it just has to spread out its wings. That God has given to it a very special set of wings to enable it to soar and to rise. But what that little chick doesn't realize is something very important. That its mother can fly faster than it can fall. And can I say that whenever God stirs up our nest and the Lord brings us out in service for him and the Lord thrusts us out, we can go forth in the service of God with this confidence, knowing that God's hand can move faster than we can fall. That we have that assurance. I want you to also consider here the diet of the eagle. You see, these birds mainly feed on rodents, prairie dogs, rabbits, fish, and other birds. They are meat eaters. In fact, they feed upon fresh meat. That is a source of their strength, fresh meat daily. Right away, no doubt, you've made the connection. We are to feast and to feed ourselves upon the Word of God, upon the milk, the manna, the meat of God's Word. It will sustain us. It will strengthen us. It will renew us. Remember a dear saint of God in our church in Lisburn, a very elderly man, and before he went home to glory, he used to have a number of sayings. One of them was, he said, Lord, I remember hearing him pray this many, many times, Lord, if we fed our bodies like we feed our souls, we would all be skeletons sitting here. To our shame, how true that is. That's a sad reality. time for recreation, for business, for other things. The question is, how much time for the things of God?
We need to feed upon the fresh meat. One of the great privileges I had at the Whitfield was sitting under the ministry of Dr. S.B. Cook. He was the homiletics teacher. And Dr. S.B. Cook said, with regards to the eagle, that just as the eagle lives and survives by feeding on flesh and blood, so the Christian owes his existence to the body and the blood of Christ, to the sacrifice of God's Son. We are saved, secure, by trusting in that blood. I want to here also point you to the depression that the eagle encounters. See, eagles generally live around 30 to 40 years. Around the middle period of that life, many often face what is called, or often described as, a period of depression. They face the wilderness. They begin to lose their feathers. Their beaks and claws begin to alter as well. Experts tell us that during this time, the eagle will walk like a turkey, have no strength at all to fly. The feathers falling out. It's during this time also they lose their vision. Calcium builds up on their beaks and they can't hold their heads up anymore. Think of this wonderful, majestic bird that God created to live in the heavenlies. And the crag of the rock. And here it is upon the earth. And its body is all torn and battered and bruised. Why does the eagle experience that and go through that period? Well, various people have their theories. But one theory I think that has a lot of truth to it, it's the fact that this bird has come down to earth so many times that it has now been affected by the pollution of this world. And can I say that if you as a Christian seek and you do live close to this world in sin, you're going to be brought down. We are to be separate under the gospel. In closing, I want to think of the devotion of the eagle. I stated earlier that it lives and it dwells close to a rock, on a rock, there upon the crag of the rock. It never leaves that rock. Only when it pairs up with another bird and builds a new nest, and likewise in turn, it won't leave that rock. That's the rock upon which it's going to die. There is a great sense of loyalty and perseverance. There is that sense of stickability and going through to the end. Child of God, you've started well. You're running well, the Lord. How will you finish? We need to be faithful in the things of God. Turn with me, please, back to Job in the chapter 39. And I want to close with these thoughts. But in Job chapter 39, we're going to read here from verse 13. Can I say that the Christian is not likened to the bird here mentioned in this passage, in this verse? Verse 13, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks," or wings or feathers unto the ostrich. So here we're reading about the peacock. And it's known as being the boastful or the proud bird. There as it stretches out that span of those beautiful feathers. It's as if it's puffing out the chest and it's boastful and it's proud. The child of God, of course, is humble and meek and to be like Christ. Not filled with pride. Of course, we have nothing to boast in ourselves. All that we are is because of the grace of God. We owe everything to Christ. Everything. Then here as we read on, we find that the Christian is not likened to the ostrich. Verse 13 again, "Or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. And here we find that the ostrich is viewed as being a very unwise bird. Those eggs, those precious eggs, what does it do? It leaves them there in the ground. They can be stamped upon and trampled over. It hasn't got the sense to protect them. And we are not to be unwise. We are not to be proud and boastful. Child of God, we are to be like the eagle. We are to wait upon the Lord. We are to have our strength renewed. To mount up with wings as eagles. To run and not be weary. To walk and not faint. I trust and I pray that God would give us the grace to run and to walk with him. That as we have started, so we will complete and finish. That we would yield to the Spirit. That we would be led by the Spirit. That we would dwell and live as far as it is possible away from this world, its pollution and contamination. That we would just dwell there in the crag of the rock, close to God, near to him in a sense. That we would mount up with wings as eagles. May the Lord bless these words this day to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Let's just bow together in prayer as we close and commit our way to him. Our Father and our God, we thank thee today for thy precious word that points us to Christ. Lord, we ask thee to lead us higher and further with thyself. Lord, we confess that so often, to our shame, we become earthbound. We confess, Lord, our faults and our many, many feelings. Lord, so often we would seek to serve thee, but Lord, we have to really question, is it really from a heart filled with love? Lord, we pray that thou will give to us a heart to wait in God. We think of the world in which we live and the speed and pace at which men travel down the road to eternity. But Lord, help us in a sense to go against the flow. Help us to go against the tide. Help us, Lord, just to wait upon thee, to cry to thee, to seek thee, to have our strength renewed. Bless us as thy people. We pray for any here today not saved, that thou wilt grant that they would know what it is to have that sure foundation, Lord, to come to Christ. Speak to each and every waiting heart. We return thanks to thee this day for all thy goodness, thy benefits, thy blessings to us, Lord. We pray thou wilt bless us. Remember Dr. Allison and his family. That thou wilt continue to pour thy Spirit upon them. We pray especially for thy servant, that thou wilt raise him to health and strength. And our Father, we thank thee for the blessings that we have and enjoy in Christ. Thank thee for this book. Lord, we pray that we might study thy word, be led by the Spirit. Continue with us. Pour of thy Spirit upon us this day. Receive of our thanks. We pray in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.